pencil neck, son of a bitch.
Mr. Godburn?
What is it?
I'd like to talk to you a minute.
What is it?
They tell me you're a man with true grit.
What do you want, girl? Speak up at supper time.
Let me do this. Your makings are too dry. I'm looking for the man who shot and killed my father, Frank Ross, in front of the Monarch boarding house. The man's name is Tom Chaney. They say he's over in Indian territory, and I need somebody to go after him.
What's your name, girl?
My name is Maddie Ross.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our program. Why do we own this DVD? Your true host, Sean Takaki, and his wife, Diane and Sean. Yeah, why do we own this DVD? Yeah, why do we own the DVD? Represent Sean Takaki and his wife Diane, yeah. Just wanna say, why do we own this DVD? Why?
Yeah. So I can probably count on one hand.
How many Westerns you've seen?
How many Westerns I've seen?
Three.
I want to say three.
Well, you...
I'll say I've seen 310 to Yuma, Young Guns 2. I don't think I saw the first one. I don't know, to be honest. I can... Oh, you know, I saw Tombstone.
Okay.
And...
You wouldn't consider All the Pretty Horses a Western? Or... Kevin Costner one, Dances with Wolves.
I don't consider Dances with Wolves to be a Western. I could see All the Pretty Horses.
Legends of the Fall.
No.
Last of the Mohicans.
Historical romance.
Unforgiven.
Not. Why would I ever see Unforgiven?
Because it won an Academy Award.
I don't give a shit.
Wow. Hateful Eight.
Nope.
You didn't see it?
No. Mm. Or Django.
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
No.
You saw A Million Ways to Die in the West. It's a Western!
Okay. All right. Well, maybe I've seen more than what I can count on one hand.
I heard you fart once.
You know what? I heard you fart once, and it went, fall.
Oh, my God. That God... damn movie. I can't believe we covered that movie on our podcast.
You enjoyed it. It was good.
This distinguished podcast, that award-winning...
Highbrow? We would cover something so lowbrow.
Yeah, we would never do that. But the Western genre is not... I mean, it's never been one I've ever been interested in. To me, it was like a dead genre. You
wow.
Know, I'm like, that's from like olden days. Like in the 40s and 50s.
Wow.
And it just kind of went away. But of course it didn't go away, right? We did get Young Guns and Tombstone and Unforgiven. Wider, you know, we saw a kind of comeback in the 90s with these movies, but
The Quick and the Dead.
Yeah, a movie I always wanted to see.
Wait, you've never seen Quick and the Dead?
No. I couldn't see it when it came out because it was rated R. And that
was... with your folks.
My parents don't see movies. They especially don't see rated R movies.
There's no titties in it.
No Sharon Stone?
No.
Well, I don't know. It does have Leonardo, cute Leonardo. But no, I haven't seen it. Because I was like, it is a Western. And I was like, if I'm going to see any movie with Leonardo, it's...
The Beach. I know.
It's going to be The Beach.
I know.
How about you, though? What's your history with the Western?
I've only seen two.
Oh, so I've seen more than you. Wow.
This one, twice.
No. I was like, wait, this was the first...
I've seen a handful. Like, my dad was into Westerns. He was like a Louis L'Amour fan.
To me, a Western's like that, like, Sunday afternoon dad movie.
You know, we watched like, a bunch of like the...
Kick back, take a nap, put on the afternoon
Western. The Clint Eastwoods, you know.
I've never seen a Clint Eastwood movie. in my life.
Dirty Harry.
I just said I've never seen a Clint Eastwood movie in my life.
Gran Torino. Bridges Over Madison County.
Fuck no. Nope.
I've never seen those either.
I know you haven't, so shut up.
The other one, Million Dollar Baby.
No. Didn't she bite her tongue off?
Fuck if I... Did I have I seen that? No.
I thought there's a thing with, like, speaking of tongues. I thought there was like a thing where she, like, tries to, like, kill herself by biting her tongue. I don't know. Maybe I'm making that... Maybe that's a Berenstain Bears situation.
What a horrible way to kill herself.
Well, yeah. I think it's a really depressing movie.
Well, because she dies at the end.
Because she swallowed her tongue?
No, she gets beaten to death in the ring.
Oh, that's how she dies?
I don't fucking know.
Oh, okay.
She's a boxer, though, right?
She is. Is he in that? Is he like her coach, or did he just direct? I don't even know.
No, I think he's in it.
Whatever happened to Hilary Swank?
I don't know. Didn't she become a boy?
Wow.
And then she never cried?
She did cry. Did you see that movie? That was a Boys tough watch.
No, I've never seen a Hilary Swank movie.
Wow, so she's your Clint Eastwood.
I don't...
Really? You never even saw the next Karate Kid?
Fuck no. Wait, hold on. Let me see if I've seen a Hilary Swank.
Wasn't there like a Freedom Riders?
What?
Writers? Freedom Flyers?
What?
You know, I don't know if I have either, to be honest.
Let's see.
I never saw the next Karate Kid because I was very against it.
The only thing I've probably seen her...
I saw Boys Don't Cry.
Okay. The only thing I probably would have ever experienced her in...
Oh, wait. Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
The movie.
Yes. Remember, she's...
But that's not her movie.
No, but she's in it.
Okay.
I know. It's Christy Swanson's movie. We know.
She is in BoJack Horseman, and I've seen all of BoJack Horseman. So that means I have seen something with her in it. But...
Okay, but you also have seen... Yeah.
I don't think I've seen... Going down, going down. Nope. Nope.
Okay, well. Nope.
What was the, her?
You know what? She should have done Marvel.
She was in 90210?
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
Just a couple episodes, I think. A few, a handful.
16 of them?
Yeah, a handful. There were 10 like, seasons.
Like
Come
an
on.
Entire season.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
No, I don't think I've ever seen a Hilary Swank movie. Mm. Besides Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I guess.
Yeah.
Harry and the Hendersons, one episode.
A TV show?
Yes.
Did we know that Harry and the Hendersons was a TV show?
You didn't know that?
Mm.
Oh.
What, from like 1991?
To 93.
Really? I was totally guessing on the year. I did the math in my head. I was like, it had to have been early 90s.
She was in Growing Pains.
Okay.
As Sasha Sirotsky.
Sure, burp.
In two episodes.
Okay.
But yeah, I've never seen anything. So I've only seen two things with Hilary Swank. Buffy the Vampire Slayer and BoJack Horseman.
Weird. Well.
So no, I've never seen a Hilary Swank movie.
Okay.
I've seen a movie with Hilary Swank in it, great. Apparently.
Yeah. Not sure how we started going.
Clint Eastwood. Million Dollar Baby.
And he's got nothing to do with what we're talking about either. Did he bring back the Western?
He never left the Western.
He never left. Kevin Costner's trying to bring it back again.
Yeah, Clint Eastwood was in it and directed it.
Okay, he was like her coach or something.
Yes.
But the movie we watched last night...
is fantastic. It was a movie that I wanted to see when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that looks good.
Yeah.
It's a title that I know, but I don't know the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
You know. It would be like if they made like a cool looking like Right Stuff, which I've never seen.
Stuff?
It's just a title that I know, right?
That space movie?
Yeah. With that classic shot of them walking, you know. I'd be like, oh, that looks cool. It's like, that's a title that I recognize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This was that.
Oh.
Like True Grit. I'm like, oh, they made like a new.
What's your history with the Coen brothers?
Oh, brother, where art thou? What the hell, Gus? Podcat is out loud and proud?
Coen Brothers, proud Minnesota people.
Are they?
They're from St. Louis Park.
Okay. Did they do... So,
Their parents were college professors, one at SCSU, the other one at U of M.
I mean, I know them from, like, you know, Fargo.
Fargo, yeah.
Did they do A Simple Plan?
Yeah.
Okay, so I know them from that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What else would they have done? Let me see.
You're gonna look? Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've seen too many of their movies. I'm going quickly through, like, you know, Ethan Coen, I guess.
Oh, brother, where art thou?
Oh, yeah.
Where art thou?
Wait,
where
out
thou?
Did I say that?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Big,
oh, brother.
Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. Sure.
Wait. What did I say? A Simple Plan? Blood Simple. What's the difference?
Oh, Blood Simple?
I'm looking at their directed features, and it is... I don't know if this is like the two of them. So, like, Raising Arizona.
Never saw.
Miller's Crossing.
Never saw.
Barton Fink. Hudsucker Proxy.
Never saw.
Fargo. Big Lebowski. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? The Man Who Wasn't There. Intolerable Cruelty. Mm-hmm. A movie everyone forgets about, including me. The Lady Killers. No Country for Old Men.
Nope, never saw it.
That is...
Don't want to see it.
The only other... movie I've seen by them. Oh, I guess in Fargo, but I don't remember it because it was like rented.
Don't push him on that thing.
Well, I'm just trying to get him away from me.
Wait, you don't remember Fargo?
No, because it, like, we rented it at a friend's house and then, like, no one was really paying attention. One of those situations.
So wait, you've only, like, experienced it once?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I've watched Fargo at least 3 times.
Okay. Before you knew me.
Yeah.
Okay. Burn After Reading, A Serious Man. True Grit, Inside.
A Serious Man.
Yep.
Nominated for an Academy Award the same year as Coraline.
Okay. Yeah, sure. 2009. Inside, Llewellyn Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to the soundtrack because it's Oscar Isaac and Adam Driver singing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that Bob Dylan-y type movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hail Caesar, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
That was
so. Simple Plan
nominee,
is not on there,
wasn't it?
That's someone else.
Buster Scruggs is nominated too. I remember that.
I don't know.
I recognize that title, and I didn't know what the hell it was.
So I've only seen. Let's say I haven't seen Fargo, because I don't really count.
Well, you didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it. I've seen so many clips from it, but really, for me to say that I've seen it, I want to start to finish. You know, sit down and actually watch it. The only one I've seen. No Country for Old Men, which I thought was boring.
Wow.
I said it. And last night's movie, this week's podcast episode, True Grit.
So you said that they did Blood Simple, not A Simple Plan, right?
Yeah.
So who was A Simple Plan?
I don't remember. Not important. Like Sam Raimi or something?
Maybe. Sam Raimi.
Okay. Because they're all roommates. Sam Raimi and...
Who?
Frances McDormand and the Coens.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sam Raimi knows the Coen brothers?
They all work together when they're all starting
out.
So
where's the Coen brothers Spider-Man movie?
Wow. No idea.
Weird.
So True Grit... I didn't introduce our podcast. This is a podcast called Why Do We Own This DVD? I'm Diane. That's Sean. We talk about our movie collection. DVDs.
This is our cat.
This is our cat who's... I don't know what he is.
Is he a...
What? Is that...
He hasn't been podcast in a while.
I don't think so. It's been a few.
Hmm.
Yeah. Tonight we're talking about a movie that I bought a while ago because...
Because a wand and a can
on that one podcast, Screen Drafts, they did a
that one podcast.
They did a Steven Spielberg produced draft. And this made it like in the top fucking three or something.
I would put it at number two.
Do you know what he's produced?
Nope. Okay. Animaniacs.
Back to the Future.
Animaniacs.
I think was number one.
Animaniacs would be number one.
Is that
Animaniacs the movie, number one.
Sometimes the Pinky and the Brain. I want to push you.
Pinky off. And the Brain, the movie, number one.
Yeah, so the way they talked about it, I was like, God damn. I'm like, maybe I'll see it. I'm like, if Half Price Books has this DVD, maybe I'll pick it up. Because at that time, it wasn't streaming. It was nowhere. And so I did pick it up. And then that was a while ago. That was last year.
You never watched it?
No, because I was saving it for...
Yeah, but you've watched movies.
And I usually save them.
Okay. But I'm just surprised you never saw this.
Again, Western.
I know, but you willingly bought it.
Yeah, after they talked about it.
Yeah, and it piqued your interest.
It did.
And then, but you were resistant.
And I was like, ooh, I can't wait. Oh, okay. I want to see it for the first time with you.
Lies.
So True Grit. This movie opened December 22nd, 2010. Obviously, we did not see this at that time. This was not on my radar, even though...
Radar.
Even though, like, it was a Matt Damon movie. I'm like, it looks like he has...
It's not a Matt Damon movie.
I was like, he has a small role. It's fine. I don't need to see this. I was past my Damon phase anyway.
It's a Matt Damon movie. Like, this is a Josh Brolin movie.
Wow, he's in it for, like, 5 minutes. He's on the poster. I'm like, you show up, like, 2 minutes before the end of the movie, fucker. I mean... Love Josh Brolin. Always happy to see him.
Honestly, he was the 5 minutes of screen time we get of him was fucking great.
He's scary, but kind of funny.
So good.
Yeah.
Like Barry Pepper also great. Made me laugh.
That dude. He's like, I'm just gonna go all in. Just warning y'all, I'm gonna go all in.
So good.
So this movie is directed by Joel and Ethan Coen. As we mentioned.
Are they no longer brothering together?
They've done some separate things.
Right.
I don't know.
You're not on the Minnesota People mailing list?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well.
And starts off while on a trip to Fort Smith, Arkansas. 14-year-old Maddie Ross's father is murdered by hired hand Tom Chaney. Movie starts off with a narration of Maddie Ross talking about how her father was killed by a man named Tom Chaney. She is going to revenge.
She's going to revenge him.
She's going to revenge him.
We are the Revengers. What's that from?
I don't know.
Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, cool.
Okay, never mind. Only the best Thor.
Not having this conversation again. So yeah. We meet 14-year-old Maddie Ross, played by Haley Steinfeld.
Possibly also 14 years old.
She was young. I think she was like 13.
Wait, what?
Let's see. She was born in 96. So she's 14.
What the f- that she, was a 14-year-old?
Yeah, would you think she was 30?
No, but she's looked the same. So, I didn't realize she was a child. Like, I knew she was a young person. I did not think that this was a juvenile.
She was a juvenile.
Holy crap, good for her. Goddamn, I'm even more impressed.
I can't believe you didn't know she was, like, that age. I thought that was, like... an obvi thing, and like how
no,
it was so cool that she was nominated because she was so young.
Not Anna Paquin young, but
close.
Yeah, you know,
Anna Paquin looked like she's 5 years younger, but she was, wasn't she close to 14? Wasn't she like 13 or something?
Well, I thought she was 12.
I don't care.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Sent to collect her father's body, Maddie finds out that Chaney has likely fled with Lucky Ned Pepper and his gang into Indian territory, where the local sheriff has no authority. She then inquires about hiring deputy U.S. Marshal. She's like, I'm hiring a bounty hunter. I'm going to find this motherfucker, dead or alive.
She, okay, Maddie Ross.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. A child.
Yes.
Wise beyond her years. Sharp as a fucking tack.
Yeah.
Smart as a whip.
How many more you got?
That's it.
Yep. Uh-huh.
But I mean, no, she's incredibly smart.
And obviously, she's sent to do this.
And she's...
Her mom can't do it.
And she's got a level of, like, just savvy about her.
Mm-hmm. She knows how to make a deal and strike a bargain and get what she wants.
Like, somehow she is... Like, I mean, how is she so well-armed mentally? She's got lawyers in her pocket.
Yeah.
She's got the law in her brain.
Mm-hmm.
She's got all the words.
I think she was taught well.
She has more words than I have.
Yeah. Most people do.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, yeah, she goes and she's a natural negotiator.
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be on the other end of that. I'd be like, just take it, I guess, because you win.
And she has to go do this horrible thing of, A, identify her dad's body.
Yeah.
Whom she presumably loved.
Yeah, I think they had a good relationship.
But she's definitely like, and she has a traveling companion servant with her, I think, right? That man who's with her and he sends him back. She sends him back with the body.
Oh.
That black guy.
Oh, is he with her? Was he with her? I don't even remember.
She's telling him what to do.
Okay. All right.
Like to go home and prepare, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Send word and whatever, sure. And get the lawyer and shit. But she's there on her own, a child,
mm-hmm.
Taking care of business.
Yep.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
No, especially in those days. Like,
there's no internet. I can't Google anything.
But she wants to find someone who will find Tom Chaney. The sheriff gives her three recommendations, and Maddie chooses the meanest one. Rooster Cogburn. Our second week in a row with a character named Rooster.
Anna Paquin was 11.
Okay. Well, there you go. Guess who had more screen time?
Anna Paquin.
No.
I never saw the piano. Is there a piano in
yes.
the piano? Is there a piano on the beach?
Yes.
Like a broken, junky old piano?
Me?
That fell off the Titanic.
I never saw that either.
Oh. Is that Jodie Foster? No.
No.
The other one.
Holly Hunter.
Yes.
I almost said Helen Hunt.
But is she deaf?
She's like mute.
Oh, this is the mute Holly Hunter movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
So yeah, she hires Rooster Cogburn, played by Jeff Bridges, doing his Jeff Bridges thing.
He is the most Jeff Bridges. He might even be more Jeff Bridges. He's pretty Jeff Bridges.
I mean, nothing is more Jeff Bridges than Seventh Son.
I don't know about that.
Oh, no.
Who else is in that?
Cogburn... initially is like no
okay,
you don't have the money or the grit.
Rooster Cogburn, first of all, great name.
Yeah.
His name is
Reuben,
but Rooster Cogburn is marinated in whiskey. And he's got one eye.
We don't know why.
No,
right? It's not a thing. Yeah. It's just he wears an eye patch.
I mean, you know what? He might even have two eyes. He might just wear an eye patch.
For the look.
But he is never not drunk.
Yeah.
One of those guys who's almost always capable.
Mm.
Can't understand a fucking word he says, ever.
Because he be drunk. Uh-huh. Lot of slurring going on.
But, Seems like a fun guy.
Sure. Yeah, he's like, you don't have the money for me. And she does, because she raised some money by some aggressive horse trading.
Mm-hmm. She goes to the guy who sold her dad horses, right? Like, her dad had bought, like, his main mare from this guy and a couple of ponies, we assume. Now, she is going to settle with this guy to get the value of the mare back because it was stolen under this guy's, like, while in this guy's custody.
Mm-hmm.
So technically he's responsible, even though he may have had some kind of, you know, we aren't responsible for any loss or, you know, damage to your horse.
Yeah.
And also she negotiates the sale of two ponies and a leftover horse.
Oh, you remember all that. Uh-huh.
And the guy unwillingly, he flat out refuses. And then under threat of, like, legal action, she manages to get pretty much everything she asked for back from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like $300.
Yeah.
For, like, for him to buy back the ponies that he sold.
Mm-hmm.
And to reimburse her for her dad's stolen mare.
Mm-hmm.
And then take custody of this old beaten down gray horse.
Mm-hmm.
That was left by the man who killed her dad.
Tom Janey.
And then she negotiates the sale of a pony back to her. And he's like, are we dealing again?
are we trading again? Or whatever. Poor guy. So she gets her money and she stays with, like, is this a relative, that lady, auntie, aunt?
Nope.
Who is this lady?
The first night she stays at the morgue.
Yes.
With three dead bodies.
If you want to sleep in a coffin,
You want to sleep in a coffin, that'd be okay.
That would be okay.
Fucking hilarious. I did like that public hanging.
Oh.
Of, like, those three, like, you know, convicts.
Uh-huh.
And they get to, you know, have their last word, you know, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
One guy's, you know,
crying hysterically.
He's begging for forgiveness and just trying to, like, whatever you call it.
Sure. Wow. Words. Yeah.
You know, just clear his conscience.
Sure.
You know, he killed the wrong man or whatever. And the other guy is just kind of grouchy and bitter about shit. And the third guy is a Native American,
mm-hmm.
and they refuse to let him speak, which I thought was fucked up.
Yeah, it is.
But, I mean, I'm like, that tracks.
Of the time, yes.
Like, the guy starts speaking, and they immediately throw a hood over his head.
He almost, like, it's like chanting.
So then he started singing.
Yeah.
And then they just drop the floor out from under him, all three of them.
So Maddie goes, and then she stays with...
So then she goes to, like, a boarding house. Yeah, like it's a hotel. It's a B&B.
And while she's there, Texas Ranger arrives in town, named LaBeef.
Shia LaBeouf.
LaBeef, played by Matt Damon. He's a Texas Ranger. Don't mess with him. And it turns out he is after Cheney as well for the murder of a state senator. LaBeef proposes joining Cogburn, but Maddie's like, no.
Because she wants justice at Fort Smith, not
Texas.
Not Tom Cheney, Texas justice.
Yes. I want him to pay for what he did to my dad, not for, like, what he did to some senator.
She wants him to know that his punishment is coming from her.
Yeah.
Not from this fucking senator.
Yeah.
Senator.
Yeah.
And she's called dibs, basically, on Tom Cheney.
Yeah, she's like, no, I'm after him.
And now LaBeef. I love that they call him LaBeef.
I mean, I don't even know how you would say it.
It's LaBeouf. It's Shia LaBeouf. It's the same name.
Is it?
It's the same name. Okay.
All right. Jesus Christ.
And it's the French word for beef, which is fucking hilarious.
Well.
Which is why they call him LaBeef.
He's Texan. Maddie insists on traveling with Cogburn. But after he departs without her, she accompanies LaBeef to apprehend Cheney and split the reward. So yeah, Cogburn left.
Well, he's like, fine, meet me in the morning. come here at 7:30 in the morning and we'll depart together. She gets there. Cogburn's gone. She chases after him. Gets her little horsey to swim across that big-ass river.
Uh-huh.
Which was fantastic. And even Cogburn's like, that's a great horse.
Yeah.
Like, that is an impressive horse.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she catches up with
Cogburn and LeBeef.
Yeah, and then LeBeef goes insane and, like, spanks her for her insolence.
That?
I'm like, the fuck is wrong with him? And Cogburn, like, draws his weapon on him. He's like, dude.
Well, because first he's spanking her.
Because he's like, you're a kid. You're a kid.
Fine, spank her, I guess. And then he grabs a switch and starts smacking her with this fucking switch. And Cogburn's like, all right, enough is enough.
Yeah. Because LeBeef is he's an asshole.
Well, and Cogburn, I think, he finally admires this kid's spunk and grit.
Yeah.
And I think he sees, like, a lot of, like, him in her, in a way. Like, he at least has, she's won his respect in some regard, as far as, like, her tenacity. And obviously she's not going to back down, which I think he can admire.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, you know what? Fucking let her come along.
Yeah.
Stop smacking her in the ass with a stick.
And this combined with their differing opinions of William Quantrill. Who is that? This prompts Cogburn to end his arrangement with LeBeef, who leaves to pursue Chaney on his own. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm leaving you.
Yeah, they had some argument about somebody else.
I don't know who that is.
I don't remember either.
At a rural dugout, Cogburn and Maddie find outlaws Quincy and Moon. Is that the one in the house?
Yeah.
They find a house. Two guys are in it, and they're asking, you know, do you know of Ned Pepper or Chaney? And they're like, nope. But it's obvious they're lying, mm-hmm. right?
I did like the way that they kind of overtake them, though.
Because,
yeah, Maddie sneaks up on the roof.
Because Cogburn, he shoots, right, into the house or whatever?
Well,
He hits Donald Gleason.
Well, Cogburn's like, all right, sneak up on the roof, take my jacket. You're going to smother the chimney to smoke him out. We'll do that, you know, if shit goes crazy. So he's talking to the guys in the house. Because it's fucking cold. It's been starting to snow.
Uh-huh.
They're trying to at least they're trying to find shelter. But then those two guys in the house, like, I think...
Well, it's more Quincy than...
They don't... Do they shoot first?
I don't know. This says they find outlaws Quincy and Moon, who surrender after Cogburn shoots and injures Moon.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, the outlaws deny any knowledge of Ned Pepper or Chaney, but Cogburn, using Moon's worsening injury as leverage, convinces him to cooperate.
And then Quincy gets all fucking furious.
Yeah, he stabs Moon.
Well, he chops his fingers off.
Well, yeah, he chops his fingers off. They show PG-13 movies.
It's just little Vienna sausages.
And then he stabs him, and then Cogburn shoots him. And then a dying Moon reveals that Pepper's gang will arrive at the dugout later that night for supplies. So they're on their way.
Because, yeah, Moon's like, yeah, they were here a couple days ago, and they're coming back tonight.
Yeah. So Cogburn and Maddie plan an ambush. They got this whole thing that when they mm-hmm. arrive, we're going to, you know, shoot him in the back. I forgot what it was.
Well, he was going to shoot the last man to go in.
As a warning, right?
Well, to trap the guys in the house.
Mm. Yeah. But who arrives first? Good old LeBeef. He arrives first and is confronted by the gang. Cogburn shoots two of the gang members, accidentally hits LeBeef. Pepper escapes. And due to his substantial injuries, LeBeef decides to rejoin Cogburn and Maddie. What was his injury? He got dragged on the ground.
He gets attacked by the gang. He gets roped and then dragged.
Yeah.
And in so doing, he bites through his tongue.
He bit his own goddamn tongue.
And he's been shot through the back. He's like, through. I have been shot by a rifle. He's like, I kind of like when he's like all bloody. He's like, I am severely injured. I have been shot by a rifle. And I think I've bitten my tongue. Oh my God. And of course, Congor shoves his hand in his mouth. Yep. Almost cleaned through. Want me to just yank it off?
Oh, gosh. That was gross.
I was laughing so hard.
So the next morning, the three set off again in pursuit of Chaney and the gang, who Cogburn believes may be hiding out in the Winding Stair Mountains. Cogburn begins to drink heavily, like even more, and the animosity between him and LaBeef resumes. They're just bickering, right?
Yeah, because they're still trying to track the Pepper Gang, and they get to that one mine shaft, and not there. The trail is going cold.
Yeah.
And it culminates in when they're like camped out.
After days of searching, the three find no trace of Chaney or the Pepper Gang. And Cogburn declares very drunkenly that the trail has gone cold and quits the pursuit. LaBeef leaves the posse, declaring he will return to Texas. Maddie expresses regret to Libby that she had hired the wrong man, and they reconcile, both admitting they misjudged each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they both agree, the enemy of my enemy. I don't know. They both agree. Yeah, Cogburn sucks right now.
Well, I think they both agree. Hey, you are actually cooler than I initially thought.
Yeah, goes both ways. While retrieving water from a stream, Maddie gets in a little bucket. Guess who she comes across?
Django.
Yeah. Tom Chaney. Played by Josh Brolin. Did you know it was him at first? Oh, okay.
Oh, I assumed it was.
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of forgot that he was in the movie because we don't see him for most of the movie. Then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we see she's getting her bucket in the water and then she looks downstream and she sees horses.
Yeah.
And then she sees, like, a man. And, you know, we, the viewer, are like, oh, that's probably Tom Chaney, I bet. It's got to be, right?
Because what? He has a distinctive... And then
he turns to look at her, and we see, like a birthmark on his face.
Uh-huh.
Because he's been described as having a black mark on his...
Yeah, on his cheek
fucking face somewhere.
So she shoots.
So he's like, I know you. You're the accountant girl, or whatever. Because I guess she's been at Fort Smith... with her dad here and there. So he recognized her as being Frank. What was his name? The dad's name? Was it Frank? Fred? Tony?
Frank Ross?
Bob Ross?
I don't know. Uh-huh.
Papa Ross?
Sure.
Rick Ross? She's like, oh, you're that accountant girl or whatever. And then... You know, she's like, you're Tom Chaney, blah, blah, and I'm here to take you in. There's a bunch of marshals up there.
Mm-hmm.
She pulls out her dad's pistol from a fucking flour sack.
Yep.
She's pointing it at him, and he's like, you're not going to shoot me, and then she shoots him.
Well, he's like, you got to cock it back.
Yeah, that's right.
All the way.
Till it clicks. She's like, I know how to use it.
Yeah, she...
And then she does shoot. She shoots him in the shoulder. He's like, I didn't think you were going to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
And then Chaney takes her hostage.
And then, of course, her gun misfires.
And then Ned Pepper shows up, played by Barry Pepper. He convinces Cogburn to leave the area by threatening to kill Maddie. He's like, you leave, or else I'm going to kill her. They're all taking her hostage. What?
Well, yeah. Because, Cogburn has, woken up.
Yeah,
I guess hearing the gunshot in the river.
Yeah.
And then she's screaming for him. She's like, help, and they're taking across the river.
Yeah, he had
and then there's like three guys that are shooting at Cogburn.
Yeah.
So then Ned Pepper's yelling to Cogburn, hey, I'll give you 5 minutes. You head over that, just head over the hill.
Well, you had like a head out kicker. An accent.
He's like, once I know that you've gone, we'll let her go.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you know, we see him watching Cogburn over go over like the horizon, basically. Cogburn shoots his gun as a signal, and Pepper shoots his gun, and away Cogburn goes. He leaves.
And Pepper then departs with his gang, stating someone will return with a fresh horse for Chaney, and instructs him not to harm her while they wait. So he leaves her with the man she has been looking for.
And I think what Pepper does is actually pretty good, because he's like, I know you're not going to hurt her, because if you do, you won't get your share of the whatever the loot is.
Yeah.
Whatever they've been doing, robbing banks or whoever the fuck knows. Like if you if we come back and she's harmed, you're not going to get your fucking money. So just leave her the fuck alone. Yeah.
But then Chaney assumes that Pepper has like abandoned him.
I think
to be captured.
And I think
maybe that's honestly what they were
that's
doing.
Probably what's happened.
So he attempts to kill Maddie because he's well,
Pepper doesn't give a shit about the kid anyways.
No, he attempts to kill Maddie. LaBeef arrives. Saves the day.
He knocks him out with his rifle.
Knocks Chaney unconscious, revealing that he and Cogburn had reunited shortly after the initial gunfight.
Cogburn had made this plan of, I'm going to pretend to leave.
Yeah.
You go get Maddie,
and I'll intercept the gang in a 4-1 standoff.
I liked that. Because then, you know, Cogburn has double backed and he's in Ned's way, and he's like, are you going to get the fuck out of the way and let us go?
Mm-hmm.
Cogburn's like, nope.
Yeah.
It's 4-1.
Yeah.
Cogburn's like, let's do it.
So Cogburn and the outlaws charge at each other headlong. Headlong? I don't know what that is. What's headlong?
Long head.
Head first?
Yes.
With Cogburn killing two of the gang members and forcing a third to flee before his own horse is shot and falls, which traps him. Alone and mortally wounded, Pepper prepares to execute Cogburn. However, LaBeef shoots Pepper from 400 yards with his rifle. Finally gets a shot.
I like Ned Pepper after like the initial like kind of joust.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Cogburn, I am shot to pieces. You know, Pepper knows he's going to die probably, but not before he kills Cogburn. Because, Cogburn shoots the fucking chicken making noise dude.
Yeah, feral or whatever.
Yeah. He shoots the other guy. He scares off the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's managed to shoot Pepper in the guts.
Yeah.
The chicken dude is my favorite guy. he's like the dude in the ska band who can't play an instrument.
He's just there on stage.
Yeah, he's the guy who just dances around.
Yeah. Chaney then regains consciousness and knocks out LaBeef.
With a fucking rock.
With a rock, but Maddie seizes the rifle and shoots Chaney dead.
Like, blows a big fucking hole in his chest.
And he falls.
And he falls off the cliff and falls into a pit.
The recoil of the gun knocks her backwards into this pit. She goes boom, 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 boom. Head over ass.
Ass over tea kettle. Just
gets her foot stuck.
Like
and
a
then,
vine.
You know, she sees like some corpses down there and also some rattlesnakes.
Well, there's like a dead guy down there who's got a knife on his.
Yeah, she's like, ooh, this knife, I'll use this. But then.
So she's dragging him over.
At first, I didn't know. I'm like, what is inside of him? Is that
guts?
Intestine? I'm like, oh, it's.
Yeah, like she's dragging this, basically the skeleton with clothes on. Dragging it over, grabs the shirt. The shirt rips, revealing snakes nestled in the guy's ribcage.
Yeah.
And she's screaming for LaBeef, who's still unconscious, and then gets bit on her hand.
Well, yeah. Does she get...
And then,
she gets bit first before
and then
Cogburn's
like
shows up.
Coming down.
He gets Maddie. Thanks, LaBeef. Promises to send help for him before he and Maddie... Leave, they gotta get a doctor. Because he tries, well, at first
he sucks some of the venom
out, but he's gotta get a doctor because this is poisonous. So they ride and they ride and their horse collapses from exhaustion. Like after he stabs the horse, Right?
Because he doesn't have any spurs on.
Ugh. Poor horse.
Poor little Blackie. That was Maddie's horse.
And she was so upset, and she was also like fever dream, I'm sure. She's delirious. He carries Maddie on foot to reach help. Mm-hmm. It's very sweet, I guess.
And he collapses basically.
And despite staying with Maddie until she's out of danger, Cogburn is gone by the time she regains consciousness and her arm is ultimately amputated. We don't see that because we flash forward 25 years later, mm-hmm. where
40-year-old Maddie Ross
tells us that by the time they reached wherever, her arm was black, mm-hmm. whatever, and she had to get half of it, like at the elbow.
Yeah.
25 years later, Maddie receives a letter from Cogburn inviting her to attend a traveling Wild West show, which he's performing. So she arrives at the show but finds out that he actually died 3 days before. She just missed him.
That was sad.
Yes, she has his body moved to her family cemetery, reflects on this decision, her choice not to marry. She's not messing around with that. And her hope of maybe hearing from LaBeouf again if he's still alive somewhere.
I don't think he's still alive.
You know, odds are probably slim.
But, okay, knowing LaBeouf, he's one of those guys that he would have stayed alive that long. Mm-hmm. But also, it's also the Old West, and I don't think...
He also could have gotten
it. I don't think a lot of guys live to the 80s, to their... late 70s, 80s. Because she's like, she doesn't know how old he was. He's like, he would at least have been in his 70s, maybe even his 80s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the odds of him
closer
being...
closer to 80.
The odds of him even being alive at all is slim.
Yeah.
Let alone having not gotten killed beforehand. So.
Well, yeah, Cogburn would have been close to 80s. LaBeouf was younger, right, than Cogburn. It seemed like he was a little bit younger.
Well, yeah, she's talking about Cogburn. I mean, she's talking about LaBeouf being in his 70s.
Oh, okay.
Because she's like, I don't know. I've never heard from him.
Yeah, right. It was LaBeouf. Yeah. Duh. Because Cogburn's dead. And then, yeah, then it ends. We don't get any more.
Ready. Really, all it is, it's a very melancholy story. Like, there's no happy ending. And it's not like a tragic ending.
No.
It's just a very melancholy, like, this is kind of a mundane ending to this person's story that only a few people would know.
Yeah.
She's not celebrated. None of the people around her were celebrated, you know? It's just a snapshot in, like, average life.
Like, I knew you for a moment in time.
Yeah. Like, these are all events that are important to her and her alone.
Yeah.
Like, no one gives a shit about her dad or her family.
Yeah.
Or Cogburn or LaBeouf. Mm-hmm. I wanted her to be like, where's LaBeouf?
Let's take a quick break before we get to some fun facts. I'm going to get some tea.
Fun facts.
Later that same evening.
Open casting sessions were held in Texas in November 2009. When they say open, that means like anyone can go, right?
Cattle call.
Like you don't need an agent to set up.
Well, sure.
Right?
Just
open is
fucking
like,
line up.
Just line up. So yeah, open casting call for the role of Maddie Ross. Following one of the Paramount Pictures announced a casting search for a 12 to 16 year old girl, describing the character as a simple, tough as nails young woman whose unusually steely nerves and straightforward manner are often surprising.
That is exactly who Maddie Ross is. Yeah.
That is exactly who Haley Steinfeld
is.
Steinfeld, age 13, was selected for the role from a pool of 15,000 applicants.
Holy shit.
One other top candidate for the role, Natalia Dyer. Nancy from Stranger Things. Yeah, no. She's a year older than that. She would have been 14 at the time.
Were her eyes still huge?
Yeah, I'm guessing they were. guessing those don't change.
I personality wise, I can't see it. Looks wise, she'd be interesting.
She'd be smaller.
She'd be interesting
because she's tiny.
Yeah, she'd be like this. Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting because she'd be like this frail looking little like beanpole.
Natalia Dyer, you look frail. For the final segment of the film, a one-armed body double was needed for Elizabeth Marvel, who played the adult Maddie.
Miss Marvel.
After a nationwide call, the Coen brothers cast Ruth Morris, a 29-year-old social worker and student who was born without a left forearm. Forearm. And she was only the double, I guess.
Yeah. Like the when we see her walking around.
Walking and like from the back or whatever, yeah. All the scenes in which horses appeared to fall or be in pain or distress were faked using a combination of specific horse training and clever editing. If that eases your fears on any horses.
Oh, no, because I figure there's trained horses.
I know, but it's just...
Hey, horse, fall over. Okay, blop.
Because a lot of horses look like they, I mean, you know.
But they really did shoot little Blackie in the head. Like, all the horses were fine, except for that one we shot.
Okay. That is awful. This was the last film that cinematographer Roger Deakins shot on film before he switched to digital technology. There's no going back now.
Raj.
Meanwhile, Christopher Nolan's like, guess what I'm still going to use, guys? Film.
You know what? There will come a time, there will be one movie where it will be the last film movie.
Yeah, and it'll probably be a Christopher Nolan movie.
It's going to be weird. It's going to be very weird.
That there's no celluloid film anywhere.
That's going to be so weird. And then someone's going to come along and be like, hey, we're going to make a movie on 8mm. And then someone else is going to be like, we're going to make a movie on 16mm. And then someone's going to be like, we're going to make one on Super 16. And then we're going to make one on 35, and we're back to film.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones.
Wow. That feels like a merch thing. Is that a famous saying?
Yes.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Because World War III will be fought with nuclear weapons, and then World War IV. Oh.
Yeah.
That's all we're going to have.
Speaking of.
Yeah. Oppenheimer. You saw it. It was terrible. You hated it. You're like, what a dumb fucking movie.
Do I buy it just so you have to watch it? Because you're not going to. Because you're not. I'm also going to watch Dune 2 by myself because screw you. I'm not waiting for your ass.
I've already watched it. Wait, what?
Dune 2?
You haven't seen it?
Shut up.
I've watched it 2 times.
Dune 2.
Dune 2 times. Two times.
Oppenheimer was great.
It was average.
I can see why people were like, oh, see this at IMAX, how he filmed it. I mean, I can see that, how it would improve the viewing. Not that watching it on my comfy couch in my pajamas on our TV downstairs on Amazon Prime wasn't.
I mean, luckily we have an IMAX size TV downstairs.
Yes, it is bigger than our house. No one knows but us.
50 feet wide. 6 inches tall.
So what do you think the Rotten Tomato score for True Grit?
91.
95.
Wow.
Wow, I was one of our higher ones. Roger Ebert.
Was he alive?
He was. He still had 3 years.
Okay.
He died in like 2013.
He was like, oh my God, this is the best Western ever.
Well, he said, he gave it 3.5 out of 4.
Okay.
He says, what strikes me is that I'm describing the story and the film as if it were simply, if admirably, a good Western. That's a surprise to me because this is a film by the Coen brothers. And this is the first straight genre exercise in their career. It's a loving one. Their craftsmanship is a wonder. The cinematography by Roger Deakins, it reminds us of the glory that was and still can be the Western. Is Raja a big Westerns fan?
I don't know.
I don't know if he's a Westerns guy.
He hated a lot of things, so I don't know.
He did. Did he hate Unforgiven? I feel like he did.
But I don't think anybody is allowed to hate Unforgiven. As terrible as that movie was, it's...
I
didn't like it.
Oh.
Because I was bored. I didn't know what was going on.
This is why I don't watch Westerns.
It was longer than I realized. Like, it went fast. I didn't realize the movie was like 5 hours long.
You know what went fast?
Or however fucking long it was.
True Grit went fast.
It did.
I was like,
wait, we're already at the end?
Yeah, which surprised me because I remember watching 310 to Yuma.
Great movie.
Being very pregnant, very uncomfortable. I just wanted this movie to end. Wow. I should see it again, not pregnant.
Wow.
Because it's Christian Bale.
Russell Crowe.
Christian Bale. The only reason why I saw it. Yeah.
The other guy?
I think Logan Lerman's in it too.
Who?
Logan Lerman.
Who?
Who? We talked about him on our Patriot episode. Remember? He was Percy Jackson.
Who? Who is that?
Anyway. Oh, God.
Ben Barnes? What?
Benjamin Barnes. So this movie was nominated for 10 Academy Awards. How many do you think it won?
Zero.
Goose egg.
Yeah. Coen Brothers don't win Academy Awards.
They don't.
They are the Leonardo. Well, they won. They are the Leonardo DiCaprio's of.
No Country for Old Men won Best Picture.
Yeah.
They didn't need any more after that.
Yeah.
Can you guess?
No.
They're pretty big nominations, like categories. That year? Yeah.
What year would it have been?
This would have been the same year as Inception. This is like that year, the first year they expanded the Best Picture.
Oh, to like 10 to 20 nominees or whatever? They have like 100 nominees.
It would have been the 2011 Oscars. You know what year that was?
Ooh. What's that face? Wait. What was the biggest movie of that year? Of that Oscar year.
I think I'm looking. Oh yeah. Social Network?
Oh God.
Yeah. King's Speech won Best Picture, which no one thinks of anymore. No one remembers.
Yeah. King's Speech is the, what's that gray-haired guy from American Idol who won?
Wow. Yeah.
That one guy that no one remembers, that just never happened?
Yeah, Kathy McPhee should have won. That's
that guy. King's Speech is that guy.
Like, Christian Bale won for supporting... Natalie Portman won for Black Swan that year.
I saw Black Swan. It was weird.
Toy Story 3. One? But yeah, animated. Yeah. I'm just looking at all the whatever. Wow. Oscar winner, Alice in Wonderland. Art direction.
Mm-hmm.
You could never say that movie did not win an Oscar. Cinematography was not Roger Deakins. It was Wally Pfister for Inception.
I get it. Sure.
Yeah, I do too. For sure. Oscar winner, Alice in Wonderland. Costume design.
That's fine. I'm agreeable with that.
So, 10 nominations. We got Best Picture, Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Actor in a Leading Role, Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Best Art Direction, Best Cinematography, Best Costume Design, Best Sound Mixing, and Best Sound Editing.
I don't think it should have been nominated for Best Costume. It's just old fucking baggy clothes.
It's baggy clothes, yeah. I mean,
I did
Alice
like,
in Wonderland won Best Costume.
I did like Maddie Ross's like fit. Her coat, her long coat, her hat.
Yeah.
That she kind of like jerry-rigs to fit her head because her dad's hat.
Right, when she put it on, it was all big. Fun fact. Funner fact.
Mm-hmm. Not a word, but okay.
Hailee Steinfeld has more screen time than anyone else in this movie, yet she was still nominated for a supporting role.
It's weird that, okay.
Is it because they consider this an ensemble?
Well, it's weird that she would have like a Best Supporting Actress nomination. That tells me that there's a actress who would have been eligible for lead actress, but just didn't get nominated. Who would have been that woman then?
Well,
you know what I mean?
The other supporting actresses. So Melissa Leo won for The Fighter. No one remembers. No one remembers that performance. I'm sorry.
The Fighter.
Yeah. The one that Christian Bale. Remember we saw the Mark Wahlberg trailer and like, I'm skipping this?
Yeah.
Amy Adams was nominated for The Fighter. Helena Bonham Carter for the King's Speech. Haley Steinfeld for True Grit. And Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom, a movie that no one knows.
Animal Kingdom? What the fuck is that?
And our leading actresses, which Haley Steinfeld technically maybe should have been nominated for based on screen time.
How do they? Okay.
I don't know.
What makes you a lead and what makes you like a supporter?
I think it's ridiculous.
That's weird.
That's people. They're always talking about that.
I feel like if you are nominated for a supporting role, then someone else on your cast should be nominated for the lead, right?
Because, but what about like?
Because like, oh, like
Judi Dench.
Well, okay.
Two minutes of screen time and she won supporting.
No, but I mean, what I'm saying is like, if you're the supporting actress in your movie, who's your leading actress in your movie? Mm-hmm. You know?
Haley Steinfeld didn't have one.
So how can you be the supporting actress if you don't have a leading actress?
So, like I said, Natalie Portman won for Black Swan.
Deserved.
Annette Bening, The Kids Are All Right. Nicole Kidman for Rabbit Hole. Again, these are movies that...
Rabbit Hole? What the fuck is that?
Jennifer Lawrence for Winter's Bone.
I know that person, but I don't know that movie.
I mean, this was before Hunger Games. It was like her first thing ever. It's a very dark and depressing movie.
It doesn't
and
sound
then
fun.
Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine. Another dark and depressing movie. I don't want to say take Nicole Kidman out.
Those were all leading actress nominations. Okay.
Could you have put Annette Bening in supporting? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That was like an ensemble movie.
The Kids Are All Right. Is that Spacey? No.
No, that was American Beauty.
No, I know that, but I mean,
I don't know. It's a weird thing, and I'm not saying like, well, the Oscars are wrong. She should have been nominated for lead actress.
But I mean, you understand my argument of like, how can you be a supporting actress if you don't have a leading actress?
If you don't have a lead. Yeah. Is it because she's supporting the men? Jeff Bridges got nominated for lead actor. He was on less than she. He had less screen time than her.
Because like, okay, it makes sense if Jeff Bridges is the leading actor.
Matt Damon
is a supporting actor.
Yeah.
You only have one female actor in this movie, really?
Yeah, you do.
Because you have two actors, but they're the same character. They're just 25 years apart.
Yeah.
There's no other women in. Except for the boarding house lady.
Yeah, she not getting nominated. She could have. She was funny.
The bed. Anyways.
So I don't know. It's a weird thing. But it did get her noticed, and I think she's had a very good career.
This was after the Bad Blood video, right? The Taylor Swift Bad Blood video?
No.
Oh, when
that was
Bad
four
Blood?
Years late 4 years later.
She looks even younger in that than she does in this. Wait, what? Wait, is Hayley Steinfeld a vampire?
Maybe. Bad Blood was like 2014.
Okay.
That's when 1989 came out.
Okay, I don't know. Fuck if I know.
Yeah. She hasn't really...
Wait, she looks like a baby in that video, though.
I don't know. I haven't watched it that often. She hasn't really aged.
No, she looks great.
And if for some reason you have not watched Dickinson, my God.
Is that the one with the bee?
It's the one with the bee. The
talking animals?
The Bee by Jason Mantzoukas.
That's the one with the talking cartoon animals, right?
She's so good in Dickinson. It's such a good show, and I implore...
That's not Bridgerton.
Absolutely not.
Downton Abbey. Different.
No. And of course, we both loved Hawkeye.
Oh my God, I forgot. I forgot this is the same person.
I was thinking of Hawkeye last night because it's not kind of similar, but she finds, you know, she tags along with Hawkeye as, you know.
She makes her own male role model.
Yes.
And even if she doesn't want to admire Coburn or LaBeouf, she does.
And she surprises Hawkeye, that I can do this.
Yeah.
I was thinking about last night, and I'm like, oh, I see some kind of similarities.
Hawkeye, would she be a supporting actress to, like, or would she be a leading actress to Florence Pugh's supporting actress?
Florence Pugh is in one episode.
Only one?
One or two.
Okay.
It would be, what's her face? Her mom. Vera, no, what's her, you know.
Vera Wang?
No. You know, from The Conjuring.
Vera Farmiga?
Yeah. She was a supporting, while Haley was a lead.
Okay.
But that's a tough one because it's Hawkeye's show.
Well, it's weird because it's a TV show too, but I mean.
Again, I feel like she has more screen time than Jeremy Renner on that show. It starts with her. She's in so much of that show.
I want to watch that show again because I love it. I love all the Florence Pugh shit.
I think you should watch Dickinson.
I love Jason Manzoukas and I love talking animals.
Again, only a bee.
A bee is an animal. Is it a cartoon bee?
No. It's a real bee.
Okay, is it a real bee?
We had the same conversation.
Is it real bee?
It's real bee.
You are not real bee.
And of course, she is the voice of Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen, in the Across the Spider-Verse, Beyond the, I don't know, whatever they're called.
And she plays Into the Spider-Verse. Trinity in Taylor Swift's Bad Blood video.
I guess. And she sings. I really like her. I've always liked her singing voice, even before I liked her as an actress. She was in Romeo and Juliet. The only Romeo and Juliet movie I don't really like. I really liked her from remembers this movie.
Who does she play?
Who do you think?
I don't know.
Juliet! 2013. It was her and some guy. It was just kind of boring.
Okay.
But it's not her fault.
And this isn't... it was actually Romeo and Juliet. It wasn't star-crossed?
No, it was Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
And of course, Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah.
Which we haven't watched yet.
We own it?
No.
Oh, then we haven't. That's why we haven't watched it.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Wait, we own that?
I was a fan, and then I saw Dickinson. I'm like, I will watch anything she's in.
Would you equate. Do you have a fondness for her that you. Do you have the same level of fondness for her that you do for Elle Fanning? Or would you...
That's a tough one.
Good son scenario. They're both hanging from a cliff.
How dare you? I would grab onto Elle Fanning. She can't fend for herself. Haley Seinfeld. Elle Fanning is a willowing feather. I feel like I need to protect Elle Fanning. I don't need to protect Haley Seinfeld. She can kick everyone's ass.
Keep in mind, Elle Fanning is like 7 feet tall.
She is, but she's willowy.
But she is too pale to live.
Wow. I don't like that question. I mean, I gave you my answer. That's my whatever.
I mean, I would too.
So the budget for this movie was about $38 million.
And it made a hell of a lot more.
It made a lot more. This is the Coen brothers' highest grossing
movie. Oh, shit.
I think I helped them. It's one of their only PG-13 movies. So you know what? More people were able to go. But
Fargo was PG.
Yeah, okay. this and Intolerable Cruelty. What? Intolerable Cruelty.
What's that?
It's their only PG-13 movies.
That's a movie.
I feel like that's with Catherine Zeta-Jones. It's like a comedy? Romantic comedy?
That's
like Zeta-Jones and like Clooney or something?
Does she play a chef?
Yes! Maybe.
No, that's not the one. It's called Chef.
Hold on. Intolerable. I can see the poster. Oh, it is Clooney. And
does she play a chef? There's no way she plays a chef in this movie.
No. No, that's something else.
It's called The Chef.
That's called like Reservations Required or something. No reservations.
That's Anthony Bourdain.
Shit. You know what I'm talking about, though. I know what you're talking about, and it's not the one. Oh, shit. Oh, I got to find it. God. No Reservations. That's what it's called. From 2007 with Aaron Eckhart.
I know.
Okay. Anyways, I don't even know what I was talking about. Yeah. So this is their highest grossing movie. Can you guess how much it made?
$300 million.
Close. 252.
Okay.
This attracted a lot of younger people. You know, it's from the point of view of a teenage girl, which is an odd thing for this genre, right? And these filmmakers.
So, okay. When was the original? When was the first?
It was like 1969 or something.
Who was in that?
A chick named Kitty. She was 25.
Playing like a teenager?
Yeah.
Okay. As they did.
Was John Wayne in it? 1969, so I got the name. Yeah, John Wayne, Glenn Campbell. Oh, Kim Darby, not Kitty. Kim Darby. She was, John Wayne won an Oscar. He reprised his character for the 1975 sequel, Rooster Cogburn. Yeah. But like I was telling you earlier, you know, it's based on a book. And I guess the 2010, the one we watched, is more loyal to the book than this 1969. Because I just don't think in 1969 they were ready to do it from the POV from a teenage girl. She was more like a true supporting character in this.
So one. In the 60s one, it was a John Wayne movie.
It was a John Wayne
movie. It was a Rooster Cogburn movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's just this younger daughter who's looking for Tom Chaney.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll never see that one. Dennis Hopper's in it. Robert Duvall. You know.
Robert Duvall.
But I'll never see it. We have two taglines. One is just one word. Retribution. Not a fan. This one's better. This one I remember. This is on the poster.
Where's the beef?
Punishment comes one way or another. It's not exciting, but it's the one I know on the poster, I guess. It's nothing exciting.
No, boring.
They're pretty boring.
But they're not bad. They're just not exciting.
Because they can't, I guess it's a pretty, you know, Western. So they're not boom, bang, pow. So
they're not like...
They have to kind of do it on the down low. Be like, hey, retribution.
They're not like Love Skate.
No.
Revenge.
Love Skate Revenge. The ultimate Love Skate Revenge.
They're not like...
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, I was... Like, going in, I'm like... Part of me was like, I hope I like it, because I kind of built it up in my head.
I knew I was going to like it.
And I was like, well, I know I'm going to like Hailee Steinfeld because whatever. And
what like, if you Matt watch Damon it and you're like, always, oh my God, she sucks.
I just don't think that's possible.
It's not. But what if that's
I would have been like, what was she nominated for? Matt Damon playing the anti-Matt Damon is wonderful.
It looked like, if I only saw his scenes without sound, like in like a weird supercut, I would have thought it was some kind of like joke. Like,
because well, he had I would some have thought, good one-liners.
I would have thought it was like some kind of SNL character.
Yeah, I mean that hat, but that fringe.
Well, and then like when he's like, "Was the sun in your eyes?" I mean your eye.
And by that I mean your eye. He had some good zingers. I will give him that. It was weird because I watched this on the same day as Oppenheimer, which of course he's in Oppenheimer.
Is he?
Yeah, playing General Groves. So he's got gray hair, a little bit pudgy, you know, and he's just a hard ass. So I saw two like anti-Matt Damon roles. I like seeing him in these. I don't know why I say anti-Matt Damon because
it's so just... Was this a different Matt Damon than like a stuck on you Matt Damon?
That's not even Matt Damon. I don't even want to talk about that movie. But no, I was... Because whenever I go into a genre, I'm not super familiar with too, like
So what's another
like
genre that
mafia? Like I was worried going into Heat. I'm like, I'm not gonna understand it. I always get worried going into like Goodfellas. I'm not gonna understand it.
Okay, so westerns, like gangster movies.
Yeah.
Dare I say, black comedies? And I don't mean noir. I mean like Wayans comedies.
Like
African American comedies, like Boomerang.
I'm not going to be like, I don't understand what's going on. It's the genres where I'm like, this is going to be, I'm not going to know what's going on. Which is like, I'm like, the Western and the, okay. I don't know, but just like the material sometimes, I'm worried that's going to be over my head. Does that make sense? The like comedies that you were talking of, I wouldn't be like, what's going on? No, I'd be like, it's jokey, jokey, funny, funny.
Right?
It's mostly like gangster and Western because I'm like, I don't. But I didn't have
like
a hard
movies
time
of like intrigue. Like, say, like Taken.
Well, I knew exactly what was going on in Taken.
Okay.
Who doesn't? He's going to get his daughter.
So like John Wick falls under that, I think, you know, like those are revenge movies, action movies. Those are like shoot 'em ups.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. I just, for some reason, I feel not overwhelmed, but like, I feel like I'm not going to know what's going on, but then I always do.
But okay, is it that you don't know what's going on or that you're just not, it's just not something you're...
It could be an interest thing, too.
Comfortable with. Like slapsticks, I bet you hate, right?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to sit down.
Like Airplane.
Well, that's...
Police Academy.
I've never seen Police Academy. I haven't seen too many.
Meatballs.
I haven't seen it. No, I just
Caddyshack.
No, I don't watch those movies.
Groundhog's Day.
I finally saw it for the first time.
I know.
A couple years ago. I enjoyed it. I was like, oh, that was kind of fun.
And it's Groundhog Day.
But I don't think that's like slapsticky. No. I thought it was very dark.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn, he's trying to kill himself multiple times. You know me in comedies. It's got to be a certain kind in my mood. It's rarely there, but it's just got to be there. Yeah. But I think it also, like I said, it's an interest thing. Like if I don't find Western interesting, then I'm going to struggle to find interest in the plot. It's really got to like grab me and not make me do a lot of work. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I feel like I didn't need to do a lot of work with this one because we were following a 14-year-old. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Here's a movie that I know.
310 Yuma, don't even ask me what that was about. I was pregnant. I didn't understand what was going on.
Here's a movie that I know you know of. You've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're interested in it. Probably because not. Of the... Because of what little you know of it.
Okay.
We saw it at Comic-Con.
Okay.
And it kind of got spoiled during the panel.
Oh, okay. Continue.
The Box.
The Cameron Diaz.
Yes.
Yeah, open the box. And if you open it, someone else will die.
No.
Right?
Press the button, you get $1 million.
Yes, that's what I meant.
But then random person dies.
Yes. What about it?
You have zero interest in seeing
it. No, I would see that.
Oh, really?
It's not a comedy, is it?
No.
No. It's a dystopian type story.
With aliens.
Yeah. No, I like sci-fi.
Well, I know, but I mean, that's a weird sci-fi.
It is, but weird sci-fi can be fun.
Yeah, I know.
No, I'm not. If you put that movie, then you're like, okay, which one do you want to watch? That one or that weird Jonah Hex movie?
Megan Fox
and Josh Brolin. Absolutely not. Give me The Box.
Wild Wild West or The Box?
The Box. I've seen Wild Wild West.
Wild Wild West. It's not good. Or Jonah Hex.
Wild Wild West, because I've already seen it. Oh, shit. And I'll dance to the song at the end. Wild Wild West. Okay, no more of that. Is there anything else you want to say about True Grit, the only Western that we own? No, All the Pretty Horses, I guess. That's a Western.
Is Jonah Hex a Western?
That's a comic, right? It's a Western comic.
But is the movie?
I don't fucking know.
A Western.
I don't care. I'm never going to see it.
Because if I find that at Half Price Books,
I will divorce you.
No, you won't.
I will say, podcast is canceled.
Nope.
Please don't. It got the worst reviews of all time.
We got to watch bad movies.
No.
We have to watch bad movies. They're not bad movies. Okay, this might be bad.
Anything else you want to say about True Grit?
I loved it. I loved it.
You did.
I want to adopt even Haley Steinfeld.
Because you thought she was older in this movie? That's disturbing.
No, I want to adopt her. I don't want to adopt her as an adult. I want to adopt her 14-year-old. And I want to, like, just protect her from the world.
Okay. Pretty sure she doesn't need protecting.
No, she got more money than.
She knows how to negotiate her way out of anything.
She got $300 for fucking a horse that doesn't even exist.
Yeah, even during our, like, dinner break, you're like, I'm loving this movie. Yeah. It was nice to see Donald Gleason pop up. Same year he did Deathly Hallows. So it's like peak Donald Gleason for me.
It was nice to see Jeff Bridges just be all fucking just salty.
So we're the same year as Tron.
Whatever.
No. 2010, right? That was
not weird.
I mean, they're to me it's weird. Oh! I scared our cat. He jumped and it scared me.
You guys are fucking dumb.
Okay. Anything else? I gotta pee. Should we pick for next week?
Sure, let's pick for next week.
We added a few more because I found that great boxed set. 8 movies for $25. That's like $3 a piece.
Classic Hollywood monsters.
Yes. 8 movies in there.
Sure, if you can keep them in the box and stop dropping them on the floor.
Stop, drop, and roll. So 176 is our...
Did I find a movie?
You did.
What was that? I don't remember.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Like the 12th movie we owned with him in it.
It is not. We only own 2.
Come on!
What was the number? 176?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Google. Pick a number from 1 to 176.
20.
Oh.
Fuck.
20.
That's not a James Gunn movie.
20!
What letter?
No.
Not even close, dude.
The letter C?
Catwoman.
No.
Cattopia.
So in the year 2000.
Conan O'Brien, the movie.
It usually makes people's lists when they do like top 10 dance movies.
Dance movies? Bring It On. What?
One of Zoe Saldana's first movies. She's the only name in this movie. She wasn't a name then. About a girl that goes to ballet school. And it's not...
Center Stage.
Yes!
We haven't already seen this one?
No, we watched that one with Neve Campbell, America's Sweetheart, that you hated. The Company.
Oh, the one with Malcolm McDowell?
Yes.
Is he also in this one?
No. Who's Peter Gallagher Eyebrows is in this one.
And isn't there a hard-ass woman in this one? Or is that one in the other one?
No. Oh. I don't think so. Oh, there might be. Center Stage, an odd movie with no stars except for Peter Gallagher, who's the owner of the ballet school.
Wait, is this the one with the snap tendon?
No, that's The Company.
Okay, we've already seen that then.
This is the one for that awesome dance routine to Higher Ground by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
And then, is there like a coffee shop involved in this movie?
No.
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 They don't all go to the coffee
shop. She gets involved with... Like the lead dancer guy, turns out he's an asshole.
I'm not gonna enjoy this movie.
I don't know.
Because I think
it's not The Company. It's so different.
Haven't you made me watch this movie before?
I probably have. I love it.
I fucking hate it.
No,
I don't like ballet.
But it's
I liked
the point. The thing is that she is turning the ballet world on its head
because she's black.
She's no.
Oh,
not Zoe Saldana. She has an eating disorder.
No, they all do.
The blonde girl. She
who's the blonde girl?
She's I don't even know her name.
What's her name?
I don't know. I honestly don't know the
That's going to be like the biggest name that you've... You're like, oh, of course.
It's not. Amanda Scholl.
Yeah, we know who that is.
Oh, yeah, Susan May Pratt. She was in 10 Things I Hate About You as the Shakespeare... That Krumholtz, you know, remember? She's... You know, Krumholtz goes to prom with her. They dress up like Shakespeare. She's Julia Stiles' friend. Yeah.
Let me see.
I don't know what you're looking at, but okay.
I don't know anyone in this movie.
I know.
Like, no one.
I know. There's no one in this movie.
Oh, wait. I know Susan May Pratt.
I just told you that.
I'm just kidding.
Peter Gallagher. And Zoe Saldana.
I mean, I don't even know the director, the writer.
Nope.
I don't know anybody in this fucking movie. This might as well be Back to the Beach 2.
Oh, if only. No, the point is that she incorporates, like, She's kind of like...
She's zhuzhing up the ballet world. You know, in
Strictly Ballroom when he does his own moves? And everyone's
Yeah.
It's like that. And people are like, that's not ballet.
But ballet.
She's adding like hip-hop and pop dance mentality.
Don't move your hips.
Yeah. That's kind of like Strictly Ballroom. You got a big dance number at the end.
It's not as fun as Strictly Ballroom, I guarantee you that.
Well, we'll see. Next week, Center Stage.
Fuck.
One of the best movies of the year 2000.
Why do you have these terrible movies?
I'm sorry, dance movies?
Well, dance movies are fine, not ballet. Blah.
Did you hear what I just said?
Ballet.
There's hardly any ballet in it.
Ballet.
Yeah, you can follow us on the socials at Why Do We Own This DVD.
You watch, just listen to us watch shitty movies.
Wow, that's a way to get them.
Snorted.
Good.
Thanks as always.
That's what you did.
Thanks as always to Brushy One String. Brushy One String for our theme song.
Brushy One String.
You can find Brushy at brushyonestring.com. And thanks to Marlene LePage for our artwork.
I was just thinking about the music in this movie because I'm like, what are you going to end with?
So, what movie?
True Grit. So Carter Burwell did the score. He does all the Coen Brothers scores. He was not nominated for Best Original Score because
this music was used in something else.
Because it's based on hymnals that already existed.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
The
majority of it is. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What did Carter Burwell just do? That we've watched? Show, right?
I don't know.
Wasn't he doing a show?
He did the Twilight. He did Twilight.
Oh, is that it?
I can't offhand.
He didn't do like a...
He does a lot. He does a lot. I don't know. I can't tell you offhand because I have to pee too badly. I don't even know what you're doing.
I don't even know what I'm...
Okay.
There's so many Carter Burwell things. Like... Just give me the guy.
I can do it easier. So.
Oh, there.
Buffy the Vampire. So, like, recently?
I don't even know, dude.
I mean, Catherine called Birdie. Like, TV, you think?
I thought we watched something and he had been doing the music for it.
The music. Well, nothing TV that we would have seen.
I mean, I'm thinking of Twilight, I suppose.
I mean, he did Twilight and he did the Frankie Dawns. He's done so much.
But yeah, it is crazy that he does all the Coen Brothers stuff.
Well, you know, you find your guy.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, I thought he did A Knight's Tale.
He did. Yep.
Oh, we three kings be stealing that gold.
Did you do that?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. All right. But yeah, his score was based not completely, but enough to where they're like, you can't be nominated for best original score because it's not original. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. You can find something. Some pretty music. There's some track like Wind something that is
Breaking Wind. What's this movie? A Twilight Saga.
God. We Three Kings, Me Stealing. Yeah, just end with that.
I'm just gonna play something from Being John Malkovich.
The Wicked Flea. That is like
okay. Fine. Enjoy the Wicked Flea.
There's also, I don't know, I think there's some, there might be some singing. I Will Carry You. There's some other names on the track. I don't know. Okay. Enjoy this music. We'll see you next week.
Joe's for... Apartment. Fear.
Fear, yeah. It exists. Okay, bye.
Oh, okay, bye.
Entertained!